Здравствуйте, дорогие друзья. Мы начинаем наш воскресный вебинар.
Good day, dear friends. We begin our Sunday webinar. As always, in the studio with us, Dr. Michael.
Good day, everyone.
My name is Semen Yanakur. Here is Boris Borisakovsky and Mikhail Sinilevich. Today's topic is Kabbalah and society. As usual, we have a lot of connections. You can ask your questions, and we're going to ask them out of order. Now, to begin this topic, Kabbalists, great Kabbalists, pay a lot of attention to society. Baal Salam wrote articles, Peace, Peace in the World. He was very serious towards this topic. You would think that Kabbalah is a very private topic, very personal.
No, it's not mysticism or not something disconnected from life. I'll tell you right away. It's not like that at all. Kabbalah is realized in society. Particularly in society, and that's the main misinterpretation of Kabbalah. People come and they're thinking that they'll be sitting in a dark room and learn about weird meditations. And
they'll all close their eyes.
Yes, and everything will be quiet and empty around them, and gradually they will enter into some spiritual world. But it turns out that's not the case. They come, a loud bunch. They study, learn, talk, interrupt one another, discern various things. A group of researchers, it's not the way it is, as it is in the regular sciences, quiet and collaborative. And it doesn't look like those that is followed by the mystics. Some of these mystics study such processes. No one is sitting in some sort of faraway monasteries in the mountains. Everyone is inside of the group, and only there, in the connection, a very tight connection, a tense connection, while searching in a great, great tension between one another, there they reach such a state when an entrance into the next world is revealed. This is why a lot of people don't understand what Kabbalah is all about. And then generally, it's quite natural that the societal aspect is the main thing.
So you think that after all of those great works that are difficult to understand, you think it's an accident that such a work was born?
People also wrote about this before him. Wait a minute, what did people write during the times of prophets 3,000 years ago? They also wrote about the organization of society, and what about the temple that was being built? That was the central point where the society was organized, where society was supposed to perform actions of unity between one another, actions of unity. That's how it's written.
Does the Bible talk about this as well?
The Bible talks only about that. What did Moshe do, Moses, when he took the people into the desert? He said, okay, now I have 40 years with you in the desert. Some will live through it, some will not. Some will live until they're 40 years old, but most of us will remain. So, in order for us to create a normal society and reproduce and educate our children, we need to organize into tens. Read about this in the volume Itro in the Bible. That's how it's written. And this is what Moses did. According to the advice of his father-in-law, Itro, he didn't relate to the nation of Israel. He was part of a nation called Midian. They were very warrior-like. And Moses married his daughter, Zipporah. They had two children. And this Yitro arrived to stun to Moses, and he gave him an advice. You need to split your people into tens, hundreds, and thousands, and give them such and such laws of behavior between one another. And this was accepted. And it was based on upper laws of connection, because through these connections, people begin to feel their upper world, which is why the entire method of Kabbalah is based on that. Please tell me, what can be closer to the structure of the society, to its heart, than the main commandment of the Torah, love your neighbor as yourself? What? Where is this? In the clouds somewhere? Or is this something that we need to realize between ourselves?
It's already an action to love. It's directed.
It's not a simple path. Practically, we're talking about not some part or a sum, rather, an application of Kabbalah to the societal structure. But we're talking about that within the social structures where Kabbalah realized.
And this is how society must be structured, Kabbalah
specifically
says,
like that. Between, in the relationships between people, this is where they'll feel the upper world.
I have a few questions about this. First of all, it is said that in the Torah itself, we just spoke about the Torah, and it really is written, even though it's just a small excerpt. The Torah talks a great deal about animals, plants, about who knows what else. But not much about society, although at the same time it does say that the most important law is to love thy neighbor.
So all other laws and rules of behavior are aimed towards making people as one system, which is called Adam. There was the system, which was called Adam, and it fell apart. It was called the first sin, the sin of the tree of life. The system broke apart into multitude of small pieces. Each one of these pieces, a desire, is within people, is within a person, and it travels from a body to a body. We must gradually, starting from our time and onwards, to start connecting these broken parts together until they turn into one desire, until they become so close to one another that they will represent one desire.
Actually, in the same Torah, it is written that the condition to receiving the Torah is
mutual guarantee.
Right, to become like one man with one heart. So the heart is a desire, right? What does it mean to be with one as one man? Everyone is individual, right?
No, there's nothing special here. There's no individuality here. Individuality must come through the fact where I aim it towards the same goal.
So one man with one heart means we're all different, but we're all moving towards the same goal. What is this goal?
Of course, unity. In unity between us, even if we as 10 people connect between one another, there's an entrance into the spiritual world.
So in continuation of that, Batsalam wrote many articles and books, but you seem to only pay attention, focus on his social doctrine, even though it's a tiny part of his collective works, and he wasn't even going to publish it.
It's true, he wasn't going to publish it. He wasn't going to publish this article, The Last Generation. But the article Hauma came out while he was alive and brought him lots of problems.
In 1940.
Yes, and his battles with particular circles of society.
Yeah, but look, we have 2,000 pages of Tas, thousands of other pages of the commentary of the Zohar.
That's irrelevant. Only those that don't understand anything in Kabbalah can talk about how Tas can help one change his attitude towards love of your friend. That's the only thing that's talked about in the Ten Sferot, study of the Ten Sferot. How can we take a society that has 10 parts and begin to putting them together in such a way that they will turn into a system called Pertsuf, a soul, 10 parts connected together with one goal?
What about the famous book of Shamati? It doesn't say anything about it.
No, what do you mean it doesn't say anything? It talks about how a person can control his ego. How does he control his ego? How does he realize his corrected egoism in the correct connection between others, with others? If love your neighbor as yourself is the main law, then Bala Salam describes it, discusses it in the article Mutual Guarantee. And others, there are thousands of revelation of the Creator to a human being cannot occur than in the center of the ten. Only in such a way. So I understand that this pushes people away because we're egoists and we're ready to do whatever. And I remember when I came into Kabbalah, I thought that maybe this is physics or metaphysics or connected to psychology in some way, but the fact that this depends on my relationship towards others and I must dissolve within the nine of my other friends and only through them to enter the upper world, that's something that I could not understand. I did not want to understand. My egoism shadowed this from me. I had this, it's as if I had a blurry vision. I dealt with a lot of drawings and all kinds of schematics and structures of the upper worlds by cybernetics is my career. A system of guidance, of control. That's why I enjoyed that, doing that. But the fact that the upper world is realized in the connection between those like me and I need to come close to them, unite with them, and create some sort of a common system of connections, and the system of connections will be called a partsuf, and then it will be called a soul, because none of us has a soul. Each one of us can only be one-tenth of a soul. When I began to realize all of this, I was grasped by great despair. So I really do understand this.
About the despair, we have an interesting question. Where is the spiritual purpose, the use of talking about spirituality and about despair of trying to reach spirituality, who can't reach spirituality? Anyway, who have no connection to it? What is the purpose? What's the benefit?
You see, people need to try to find between one another a common language to unite, understand how different they are, what they need to do in order to come close to each other and help. They need to talk about this a lot and learn Kabbalistic books, sing together and have meals together. They need to, whatever we did with Rabash, with my teacher, we traveled to different places with our large group. We gathered every single week with our large group, reading his articles, and so on. This is an entire system of exercises, the point of which it's split into two levels. One level is a very practical, civilized, when we just get close to one another, find out about each other, get familiar with one another, we can push one another But this is something that we need to do. This relates to men and women. It's, of course, these are two different groups. The men and women need to be separate. This is one way of communications when we gradually get close to the friends in the ten. And another is when we study. Then we learn about relationships between one another on a degree that we don't yet feel. But we learn about these degrees of connection between us as working parts of the soul or a spiritual system or partsuf. Take a ten guys that attain a certain connection, internal connection between one another. Between them forms a system called a partsuf or a kli. From 10 parts, from 10 desires, correctly tied together. And in that correct connection between them, not in each single desire, each individual desire, but specifically in the nodes of connection between them, in this connection, forms a certain force called the Creator. This force is something that they feel together. They reveal this force. And this is called the relation of the upper world. This force guides them. It leads them. It changes them. It changes all of the situations around them and within them. It teaches them. As soon as they have revealed it, then it begins to work with them. Changes something and then explains and shows that this changes and then this happens. All of these changes that happen with them, they're so multigranular, multifaceted, mutually exclusive and uncontradictive, and at the same time helpful and all-inclusive, that gradually and gradually, through them, this ten begins to ascend. It feels greater and greater contradictions between the friends, and also a much greater connecting force between them. And it turns out that specifically above huge contradictions, there is revealed in parallel with that a connecting force, an integral force, and these two forces, the repulsing force and an attracting force, form between them a very interesting organ called a soul. And this soul starts to teach them. As it says, the soul of a man will teach him. And they start to follow the soul. Why am I telling you all this? And so that you would understand that everything is decided in the connection between people, and not only in the ten. But the more tens we have, and the more they're connected between one another, eventually the entire humanity needs to come to such a connection between one another. Within that is the upper world revealed, and in no other way. You can read whatever. It will not happen. Only in this way. We come from a system called Adam that shattered, and we need to build it up. Hosts, question. If Kabbalah is a science of the organization of society, are there recommendations in Kabbalah how to resolve conflicts of our human society?
Yes, of course. It's not a problem. You need to begin with your group, with your ten. Start working on it in your ten, towards unity, and you will see all the problems that suddenly appear. judging one another, getting offended, upset at one another. There is nothing in the outside society that doesn't get reflected in the ten. The ten is just a minimal unit of society where you can resolve everything in a very quick, compact way and receive the appropriate answer from above. To reveal the Creator doesn't reveal himself in fewer than ten. If it's greater than 10, we cannot reveal them ourselves because we cannot perceive a system that's comprised of more than 10 elements. And so that's why we work the way that we do.
I'd like to add that there was a methodology developed called integral education that deals with relationships and attitudes in our society. These are practical skills yes. that we can apply. I could say perhaps at the lessons you often discuss liberals and conservatives. What are your political views and how did Bala Salam relate to these things? And he was blamed for being a communist. Is there a connection between communism and Kabbalah? And a friend adds, what roots does liberalism have, and why do current intellectuals are so in love with this ideology?
I'll tell you. First of all, we are in a process of transition. Our society is always changing. We're talking about a more or less normal Western society without looking at a particular country with its own views and its own psychological particulars and their own roots and so on. The democratic society, as it is said, is the best of all the worst options. Meaning it's neither here nor there, but we don't live in a democracy anymore. It did exist for a little while when we really did look after the people and sought to develop people's ambitions and give them opportunities for everyone to express themselves and actualize themselves in whatever direction they felt this inner strive, inner aspiration towards. But that is all gone, long gone. This was done maybe in the 1960s. After World War II, for maybe 20 years at the most, no more than that. And then it all began to be devoured by the ego, as usual, more and more, until it has devolved into the state that we're in today. Look at the way that liberals act. In my nature, essentially, of course, in my soul, I am a liberal. This is where I grew up. I was a student in the 60s. So naturally, in my soul, I am a liberal. And the problem is that today neoliberalism has practically turned into fascism. Look at the way that neoliberals behave in all the different countries. They demand for everybody to be just like them. And everybody else, they destroy. They exterminate. Is it the same neoliberalism that we once spoke of? Is it really liberalism? It's not the same thing at all. It's transformed into fascism. In our time, it's happening to everything. We've outgrown all of these good changes in our society. And now, we're like a snake that's catching its own tail and starting to devour itself. This is what we're becoming to. We're becoming just like there's this like absurdity that's taking place in all governments and all societies. And look, I'm not for Trump or against Trump or anything of the sort, but look at the data. Look at what's happening. A president was elected according to the Constitution, according to the law, but liberals are coming out of the street, they're breaking everything, they're saying, no, we don't agree. But look, there's a constitution. He was elected legally. No, we're going to depose him. We don't agree. We don't want him. So liberalism has turned on itself. It's the opposite of what it used to be. So we can't really juggle these terms anymore like we used to. Liberalism, democracy, they have remained just words for whoever wants to use them to sell something.
We're being juggled by the ego.
Yeah, absolutely. We're being juggled by the ego in all kinds of ways.
Well, Salam writes in the article, The Last Generation, he says that fascism will be the next structure of society after democracy.
Yes, democracy leads to fascism. That's natural. We see it now. But we can't do anything. So democracy is a good period. Society is prosperous, but afterwards, fascism will never be followed.
This is inescapable.
Inescapable. The society has its own laws, and they're objective laws. That's how it works. That's how it has to develop. You can do something, you can try to intervene, but it's only going to result in a bigger blow. You can delay the process by 10 or 20 years, for instance, what happened in Russia with the revolution. But generally speaking, you will not make any cardinal changes. You will shift the whole process, the phases of it, but no more than that.
Not observing the ego, you won't be able to build anything just on this planet.
Well, that's obvious. That's not even up to question, up for debate. We've already undergone all the possible social formations. We even tried communism, if you can say that, egoistic version of communism. We're not going to see anything better. We're only going to see worse.
So what formation has remained?
Only the future generation.
What kind of formation is that?
It means that we need to accept the law of love thy neighbor as yourself, as the highest law of nature, and to try and understand how to best actualize this law, otherwise we have no future.
This is a generation that will aspire to this law and live according to it.
Yes. And this period has already begun. It has begun since the European Union, the formation of the European Union. At the very beginning of, I was really happy when it was starting. I was in France at the time, west of France, on the Atlantic coast, and I saw cars driving by, and these huge trucks, and there was like it was like a museum inside. You could go in and pick up postcards, brochures about unity.
Live together in love.
Right, how great it would be to be together. France was really afraid of Germany at the time. So they were very much for unification, uniting together. But even then, I saw that that's what it would lead to. But it was a good period. It's meant to last a certain period of time to show people that their unity on an egoistic basis without correcting the nature's, the man's nature is unsustainable, and it will lead to complete failure, complete breakdown with terrible consequences. That in another scenario would not have happened.
Question: people live in various mega cities. Moscow, for instance, has 19 million people that live there under one roof. Isn't that a form of unification? Just be happy for your neighbor.
Of course, be happy for your neighbor, that would be nice, but it's not enough. What do you mean to be happy for the neighbor? So I have neighbors, so what?
Well, people are unified by having a common government. What do you mean by unity?
No, government is a way of uniting people in order to exist in a mutually beneficial way together, as much as possible, as much as that's possible. So we gather together, we pay for the streets to be cleaned up for us, for the electricity to be...
It's clear the government provides all these things.
But, you know, of course, there is a lot of stuff that gets stolen and taken advantage of, but it doesn't matter. This is an egoistic unification of egoists, very mercantile. This isn't unity.
What do you mean, not unity?
It's a cooperative, like any cooperative.
Capitalists don't receive benefit from unity?
The incredible benefit of Kabbalists uniting is it's an upper benefit. We need the kind of unity in which we can reveal the higher form of life. We can travel across galaxies. We can rise above our entire universe. We can transcend it. We can transcend our life, our animal life, the one we're existing in right now. We can feel ourselves living a bit outside the body. All of this is possible, and it is achievable with the help of the right connection between people, and not because I have a decent neighbor and I have a good relationship with my neighbor.
What is this, some super organism?
It is the it's plugging into a connection of the upper connection between us.
Why is it represented by unity specifically? When is it similar to when cells connected into one common organism?
No. If we were to unite like cells are united, then let's say, suppose we're creating the correct egoistic society today, right?
That would function well and live together.
Right, it would function well together, but then it wouldn't elevate itself to the higher level. We're talking about something else now. It would be nice if it would come to a state where we could sustain itself, ourselves like a body sustains itself, for one force to govern everything and everyone. But what we need here is something higher still. What's demanded of us is to rise above our egoistic nature, for unity to be above us. You see, in the course of this life, we need to come to the next degree, which is why we cannot use any of our corporeal tricks to do it. We need to place ourselves in a special state that would at once, with our corporeal unity, would draw the upper light. And then this upper light would pull us towards the higher degree, and another higher degree, and then another one. And we would keep rising above, further and further from above our world. And that's what we need. In our world, we can keep it at its minimal level, enough for us to exist here, because all of our thoughts and aspirations would be aimed at the revelation of the upper world.
It's hard to understand this.
It's hard to understand. That's okay. It's clear. But if we try to explain it to regular people on the street, they're not going to even hear us. So only the suffering is going to push them to develop. And the next state of humanity, we already see this. It's a state of tremendous suffering. Physical, maybe not necessarily, but the spiritual suffering will be absolutely terrible. When you feel a question about the meaning of life, and you can't exist because there's no answer.
Question: how can you organize a spiritual society from the biggest egoists, and who will defend them from their common collective ego. They're egoists. What can they do?
They will create themselves in the new society, and they will protect themselves. Why? Because there is no other option. There is no other way. They will reveal it. In order for them to reveal it faster, we need to tell them about it in advance. And they will see it quicker, faster in their life. If we talk to them about it, they will be revealing. If we don't, then they'll only be revealing it with the blows that they get, and that's it's too bad. We have to be compassionate and help them. The world will need the same kind of suffering and blows that the primitive society has received, and the Nazis will come as the consequence of the natural democratic and liberal movement, and then it's erroneous to consider Nazism as an aberration, but it's a natural consequence of the democratic process.
Rav, that's what we'll see in all the developed countries.
Baal Salam wrote that in 1952, when people thought that the world is completely rid of fascism, that fascism will never return, and we see now how we're starting up this cycle again. We have a question from Kharkov. You're saying that Kabbalah doesn't work, it doesn't talk about this world at all, but then you're saying that we actualize it in society.
Kabbalah does not talk about the laws of our world. It only talks about them as facts. It talks about how to raise to the spiritual laws of bestowal. Spiritual laws are based on bestowal. Our laws of our world are based on perception, which is why we, being in our world, we are unable to feel the upper dimension with our bodies, because it's felt through bestowal, which we don't yet have. And in our world, we live in our body. In the spiritual world, we live in our soul. But these are two systems of providence, for oneself in our world or for bestowal in the upper world. Which is why when you attain the sensation of the upper world, you lose the sense of time, because you exit yourself into the external relationships.
You often talk about 1995 as the year of great social changes, and that the Book of Zohar writes about that. Can you indicate a place where that's written?
I don't remember. By the way, Gaon from Vilno writes about this as well.
Zov Tula, I think.
Mm-hmm. What is it called? From
The Lark.
And there's a song, Zhavranka. There's a the lark. The Gaon from Vilno was this special wise man from Vilnius. He wrote this book, A Lark's Song.
1995, social changes. Talked about the social changes in 1995?
No, not about changes. Not social changes. He wasn't talking about that. He simply said that starting from this time, 1995 and onwards, within people, there will arise constantly a demand or a need for the upper world, and they will be attracted to Kabbalah. And when did people, the most people come to us?
Starting from 1995. Mm-hmm. So here's a question. Why don't you teach how to correct the qualities of man as it's written in many primary sources? People's properties, their qualities.
Kabbalah isn't psychology. I don't teach it. I teach how to attract the upper light that will make these changes within a person.
Can a person himself change his own qualities, the way he approaches others?
How can an egoist change himself to an altruist?
But with his willpower.
How can you do this with your own forces? You'll just run after your tail like a dog. The only thing that you can do, and this is written in many, many books, only the upper light that exists on upper degrees, upper dimension, we can attract it to us. We can pull it towards us. If we will try to be in correct relationships between each other, we will form a 10, and within this 10, we will try with all our strength to create correct relationships between each other. Then, from this upper dimension into our dimension, an upper light will seep through. The special upper light that will gradually correct us.
The right relationship, does it mean to be kind, to exalt, to forgive?
These are not laws of human co-living. These are laws of correct human attitudes, relationships.
But how do you draw the light? Isn't it by trying to act the right way towards others, to be kind towards them?
I'd like to ask you, do you think that humanity has already attempted these things?
Of course. That's what they taught us at school, how to be good, to be nice towards others. Maybe in small societies, there were close societies, they tried it.
There's nothing that you can do with your ego. Only the upper light can correct your ego, which is why you need to attract it.
We know that we can't correct it. We see this.
So then what do you need? Well, the upper light created the ego, and only it can correct it.
Balsalam writes this, that when the upper light comes, those qualities, midot, become sefirot.
Yes. All of these egoistic qualities and interactions between each other, they turn from egoistic to altruistic, and then they're compiled into one system called a soul.
Евгений from Minsk asks, what new social relationships can Kabbalah offer? Because this idea of love thy neighbor as itself was introduced 2,000 years ago, but still hasn't been actualized.
It was never realized anywhere, my dear.
The first temple it has, right?
They tried. There were no foundations for this just yet, because the world hasn't come to the shattering that it has come to in our time. The mixing of the definitions, the interconnections, the foundations of our world are so intermixed right now that we can come to the full correction.
A question from a student. I am a psychologist and I see a lot of similar things from in Kabbalah, the close to psychology as well. For instance, the rules of the workshop.
Psychology.
Did you take it from psychology?
Psychology was born 120 years ago, let's say. It started around the end of the 19th century. Kabbalah was born 7,580 years ago. So I don't think you can say that Kabbalah took something from psychology. In fact, psychology, as Balsalam writes, stole a lot of from Kabbalah. And philosophy in particular, which is why psychologists feel that whatever they say, Kabbalah also talk about this. Whatever they say, Kabbalah accepts it. When in fact everything is completely opposite, we know that Kabbalistic books were written 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, so this is not so. But if you really delve into what Kabbalah writes, as if it's similar to what societal psychology, social psychology writes about, you will see that it's a completely different system. Once again, I'm accenting a moment here that Kabbalah brings a person to correction under the influence of the upper light. That's the only reason why we have all of our exercises, our study, and everything that we do, including meals and everything else. Psychology doesn't have any of this. It simply uses egoistic forces of a person. So we see that as soon as psychology has come about, it faded away quite quickly.
I was just looking at all the friends we have in Vilnius. There's a congress coming up in the city, so I wanted to ask a question from Ekaterina. She asks, all of our lessons will have workshops on them. So where do these rules come from? To speak in turn, not to criticize, but that the truth is born. It's exactly the opposite. It's in debate that births the truth. That's where the truth is found.
So all of these rules of the workshop are based on the foundations that were written by Kabbalists, starting from the 10 that was described in the book of Zohar, when 10 great Kabbalists gathered in a cave and wrote the book of Zohar. From there, this definition of the 10 has come about, and what it is, and how to unite and within it, and what to do with it. That's first of all. All these interrelations in the 10. My teacher, Rabash, wrote about this very specifically. All of the foundations are in the attitudes, relationships between people. And it has nothing to do with psychology. What else did you say there?
That the truth is born in debate, out of debate.
Oh, that's completely incorrect. What truth can arise in an argument if everybody is an egoist and everyone thinks and has their own opinion? And what will come out of the fact that they will argue, and out of these 10 egoistic truths will arise many
wars are born.
I've never seen that in an argument truth came out. These need to be very, very special people that understand that they can use this in a very limited way, which is why in Kabbalah this is not something that's accepted. There can be no arguments because truth comes to us from the next level of understanding, not from our own. There's nothing that we can search from within ourselves. I think that our entire human history has shown this very clearly to us, aside from all kinds of dirt and corruption, there's nothing that we can dig out. We truly simply need to collect ourselves in such a way that we will evoke the upper light, and then everything will turn out.
Maybe we should do a webinar about this about the workshop specifically. I had a lot of new people ask me. We were in the workshop, right? I'm sitting there with new people, and they're answering a question, and I really don't agree with them. So what do I do about that?
Give them a webinar on this topic next time.
So meaning go over the rules and review them. About the 10, there is a great tradition back from the Babylonian Talmud that any action must be done with no less than 10 people. It's written as far back as that.
Okay, next question. You often say that the Creator is revealed in the 10. Is there proof for this? Then what's the point of this world with all of its people and such various different forms of nature, if everything is based on these 10 people?
It's natural that the world doesn't need anything more than 1-10. This 10 is a core system, the so-called Avaya, a system in the world of infinity. It's comprised of the 10 primary parts, and then from the world of infinity, the system begins to spread, to expand like a chain reaction. Gradually it divides, splits up into many, many different tens. And then at a particular point, stage, these tens, they broke. They reached a certain system called Adam, and then this system split apart, fractured. And everything ended there. Ended meaning the upper system ended, and our world began to appear, and we began to appear in this world. Now, what's required of us now is to gather ourselves to be similar to the system as much as we can with the help of the upper light, from the next degree of nature, and gradually we will elevate ourselves upward and upward until we feel that we exist in the upper world.
This is clear. Why did the Creator not create a table and sit 10 people at this table and attach them to the chairs and let them sit around the table? Why do we need this whole world?
Free will. Free will. We need to come to this state willingly, consciously. We can't just be glued to this table and then just forced to sit here until we reach a solution. No, we can't do that. We need to be given the opportunity, the freedom to try everything under the sun so that gradually we can determine, we can see, we can sense. Where is this truth? Where is the purpose of life? Why do we live? What do we live for? What's the point of existence? All of these problems man needs to attempt to solve in this freedom that he's given.
Humanity exists for 70,000 years only for the purpose of these 10 people today would recognize that there's
yes.
a goal of creation?
Yes, because these tens of thousands of people, all of our friends that are with us today, these are the people that are truly concerned, truly bothered by the question of the meaning of life. They want to know the answer to this question. They want to know why they exist. They're not interested in just existing with material wealth or with comfort. They want to know why do I exist? What is the meaning of life? There are not many people like this. There are a few of them, but they comprise the very tip of the pyramid, of the human pyramid.
Question from Chicago. In Kabbalah, what role does conscious trickery play for done by the developed ones for the less developed ones?
I don't think it's trickery. It's a method that's employed in pedagogy, in teaching, and in psychology, like we do with the child. We know what's good for the child, so we can... We switch around. I use my brain. I need to trick his brain in order to do certain action. I need him to start working with my brain, not with his. But that's
when
for
this
his
occurs
benefit.
In politics, and when this occurs in politics between countries,
that's completely different. That's not something that can we can go into now. That's a very dirty system of relationships, but it cannot be any other way because we have built it from our ego the way that it is. Only by starting to rise can we start gradually reforming, not even destroying, but reforming the system.
Question from Milan. Kabbalah says there's no wise than the experienced one. What experience do Kabbalists have in building societies?
None. The only thing we have is the understanding of how to grow the upper light. The Kabbalists don't want to build anything. The Kabbalists do not intend on building anything. All they know is how to draw the upper energy, the upper light, which will correct them and everybody else and give them the opportunity to understand, to realize, give them the clear knowledge of how to structure our lives. But by no means, oh, we know how to do it, so now we're going to look for ways how to convince others or to bend them to our will.
That's why they were always against what philosophers said, who took these abstract forms and tried to apply them to our world.
Just as what the communists try to build in Russia.
You need to evoke
only
the slide onto the person, and then they'll be able to build.
But they must be ready for it. They need to know how to adapt the upper light, how to actualize it.
Question from Germany. Social justice and equality, what does Kabbalah think about it? Or is equality and justice in our world is just a foolish tale?
Absolutely, he put it the right way. It doesn't exist on this level. Kabbalah talks about a different kind of justice. When we are all together helping one another and we're revealing the general law of love and bestowal, that's the resulting state is what we can call a just society, where we see clearly what's necessary for every single person in their optimal way. Child, adult, old, elderly, man, woman, and everybody else.
We have lots of questions. A few announcements. We invite all of our friends to the Congress that will occur on 3rd to 5th of November in Vilnius. From Case to Harmony. And we have a new semester in MAC Online. You can sign up until the 10th of October. Question. Can Kabbalah propose an idea for unity of nations?
Kabbalah doesn't propose anything. It has no ideas to propose. It's just one. How do we draw the upper energy for it to structure ourselves correctly, to unite us correctly, and build the government and society, one humanity? Whatever happens, it doesn't matter, as long as it's done under the influence of the upper force.
A 10 is an optimal, similar to spirituality, a form of solving all kinds of issues, or only for spiritual issues.
I'm certain that is the case. And in the end, this will be the solution to all of humanity's problems, because the 10 represents a system that includes the inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human natures.
Who is my friend? How do I find out who my friend is? How can we live without a friend?
Your neighbor, your friend, is who with whom you have the same goal, that you share a goal.
Is it known at which point in history will democracy turn? At which point will fascism turn into a spiritual formation?
It can be done via great suffering and nuclear wars that Kabbalah does talk about, actually, or it can be prevented before it happens, because people will begin to demand the upper light for their correction.
How can we educate the masses that doesn't have any need for spirituality? Or do we need to wait a couple of thousand years?
No, Kabbalists are not going to wait a couple of thousand years. The time for waiting is past. The thing is that even though several million who more or less are moving towards the upper light and who wish to be influenced by it, they can channel it through them onto others. There is no, it's not necessary for tens to be, to basically take all of these 8 billion people and break them down into tens. No. All you need is a set amount of strong tens and they will channel the upper light to the rest of humanity, and the humanity would receive it, and they would see how to exist correctly. In this sense, we study the system. Aside for the several thousand people that are connected to the upper light, everyone else who's in the system, they receive the light through the several thousand and use it just as we use all of the gifts of civilization, even though we do very little actual work to use those gifts, to utilize them.
How, what about the rest of the society that will never be dedicated to spiritual growth?
They don't need anything. Everything will be fine. As long as the tip of the pyramid, meaning us, once we bring a few more thousand people to join us, it will organize itself correctly. This is why I'm waiting for all of you in Vilnius at the Congress, so for us to do it all together.